Hello, welcome to Adventures in Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And after a short break, we're back.
Hello, I hope it's not been too long for you. We just needed a bit of a break, I think, because it was just incredibly busy, and it was better to have a proper break and get a bit more organised rather than coming and going and so on. So we've had a bit of a holiday, and we've been doing booky things still, and we've both been doing a lot of reading, and Rob's been doing more work reading. I've been doing quite a bit of reading for pleasure, which is nice. We've been to booky events. So today we thought that for our first episode back, we would basically tell you what we've been up to.
So as Kate said, I've been doing a lot of work reading, and not all of that has been announced yet. So I'm probably not going to be able to talk about some of the stuff that I have been reading, but I have been getting to the swing of things and working with some authors on some things, but Kate's got a
nice been very secretive.
Until things are announced to the press, we're not really allowed to supposed to talk
no,
to
them. No, I know.
For those of you who don't know, the London Book Fair is looming very shortly. Kate and I have also got our respective conferences. You've got the PRH one. So, I've got the Hachette one tomorrow as we record this.
They're quite
this.
Different. The Hachette conference, you kind of present to lots of like sales type people and like people from different bookshops and that and those sort of people. Whereas the PRH conference, we present to each other and then also some booksellers. But it almost feels like we're trying to really impress all the other people from Penguin Random House. So it's surprisingly competitive. But I'm very excited to see what all the other divisions of Penguin Random House have come up with and what their big books for the next year are going to be.
But as a result of that, a lot of the things that I've been up to lately will finally be announced.
Yes,
so I can talk
exactly,
to you and I'll have read some of them.
There are equally some work things that I know about that will be announced either at that conference or that would be announced at London Book Fair. So there'll be more things that we're allowed to tell each other after that. But yeah, it's a funny old world.
Oh yes,
but
I'm not keeping things from you, listener. I've been keeping things from Kate. So
yeah.
Anyway, you've got a big pile of books next to you that you wanted to go through.
Yeah, I've got a few things here which are kind of new arrivals, one of which is something that I contributed to monetarily, and then other things are books that I have been very kindly sent by publishers. And I thought we could also mention a couple of events. One that I went to on my own, well, not completely on my own, obviously there were other people there, and then one that we were both at, and that will be kind of covering most of the things that I think we can probably talk about.
Mm.
So, a couple of my new arrivals. So, one of these books is something you might have heard of, and certainly the phrase will be familiar to quite a lot of people. It's called Nasty Women, and it's a collection of essays and accounts on what it is to be a woman in the 21st century. And obviously, the phrase is drawn from the way that Hillary Clinton was described in the run-up to the presidential vote. And it's got various different people who've contributed to it, lots of different topics that are included. It says, punk, pressure, politics, people, from working class experience to racial divides in Trump's America, being a child of immigrants to sexual assault, Brexit, pregnancy, contraception, identity, family, finding a voice online, role models and more. So there are lots of different people who've contributed to this. It's got a quote from Margaret Atwood on the front, an essential window into many of the hazard-strewn worlds younger women are living in right now. So that's pretty amazing. And some of the contributors are more well-known, some of them less so, but I guess that's not really the point. The point is it's a really, really interesting collection of different bits of writing. And this was actually funded through Kickstarter by 404 Inc., who produce a literary magazine. and this was their first book. So it's actually, it's a really interesting project for a number of reasons. It's the first time a number of these people have been in print in a book as opposed to a journal or a magazine. So that's really interesting as well. So,
I didn't know about the Kickstarter thing. Yeah. It's interesting. That and Unbound seem to be bringing a lot of new things to the fore now.
Yeah, I think it's a way that people are doing publishing in a different way, and it's a really interesting way to get different voices heard, perhaps people who are maybe less established writers or are saying something that's a bit more political or a slightly different message, and particularly for non-fiction. And I'm going to be mentioning another anthology later, actually. So there we go. So I'm really looking forward to reading that. I put some money into the Kickstarter for this, which is why my copy has already arrived. It comes with a little bookmark, so that's nice. And I'm very much looking forward to reading it. My name is in the back somewhere. So there we go. I'm very, very proud to have contributed.
Yeah, I can see actually quite a few names in there people recognise.
Yeah, you might well as you're looking through. Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, it's quite funny when you look through and you're like, yeah, I can recognise some of these names. Yeah, I've just found my name there. So there we are. But if you didn't fund this in the Kickstarter and this sounds like something that you're interested in, these are available to buy now. So you can put in an order for a copy of the book. So there we go. It's called Nasty Women. And it's various authors, published by 404 Inc. It's $8.99 because it's a paperback. I've also been sent a few really interesting things. There's a couple of things which I requested. So as I thought this sounded like just the sort of thing I might enjoy, I requested a copy of a book called Frog Kisser by Garth Nix from Hotkey Books. And this, it turned out that it's actually a really lovely, well, technically it's Piccadilly Press actually, but it turned out it's a rather lovely hardback, so I'm very pleased with that. Very glad that I asked for it. I really, really like Garth Nix, and I very much enjoyed his Old Kingdom series, which are these sort of magical fantasy series where people control the spirits of the dead that might come back by ringing bells. And then, obviously, the title of this one, you know, you kiss a frog and it turns into a prince and so on. So this is based around that idea. So it says, the scream was very loud. Princess Anya, who was reading in the castle library, ignored it at first, but eventually lifted her head from her book to listen. That sounds bad, said Gottfried, the librarian. So she loves her older brother, older sister rather, even though Morven can frankly be rather annoying. For example, she refuses to kiss the frog and turn him back into a prince. But there are other things to worry about. Their wicked stepfather, Duke Ricard. Then the Duke announces he's sending Anya to a school far away, involving a perilous journey. Anya knows that if she's not there, Morven will not be able to stand up against the evil Duke. So it's sort of a fairy tale type inspired story. It seems like it should be very funny. So very much looking forward to this because I like his writing very much. So that should be great fun. And also the whole story, fairy tale inspired thing. I'm a big fan of that. I've been sent a really nice finished copy of The Impossible Fortress by Jason Rekulak.
I wouldn't ask me, but I actually got sent this via NetGalley and I was going to request it. So I was thrilled when I saw that you had a physical copy.
Well, I actually got sent a proof of this, and it's interesting because the finished copy looks completely different. It's got a sort of pink jacket, and it's a photographic cover of like American high school, two people bending over in their metal lockers. It's got a rather lovely postcard with it as well. And the proof copy, the advanced reading copy, looks like a computer game with Space Invaders on the front. So it's a very, very different look. The finished copy looks much more like something aimed at more of a, let's say, gender neutral audience, whereas the advanced reading copy looks much more aimed at perhaps a male reading audience. Like, if you're going with stereotypes, obviously I know that girls can play computer games as well. But this is a coming-of-age story set in the 1980s. So it's 1987. Billy Marvin, the tallest boy in ninth grade, has just witnessed history. Wheel of Fortune presenter Vanna White is on the cover of Playboy. So Billy and his friends Alf and Clark know that they can get hold of the magazine and their world will change forever. But as Billy says, no shopkeeper in America is going to sell Playboy to a 14-year-old boy. As they set out on their mission to find the most wanted images in America, they're blissfully unaware of the dangers, dramas and garbage dumpsters that lie ahead, and of how a girl called Mary and a computer game called The Impossible Fortress might just change one of their lives forever. So I wonder if the cover maybe looks a little bit like a scene from Stranger Things? What do you think?
Possibly, yes.
It's kind of what it made me think of. It's got a slightly aged look, like the colour of it.
And that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, definitely. But it's made me, funnily enough, much more interested. And you've managed to find that cover.
Yeah.
I mean, she's covered up.
She's covered
listeners.
Up,
listeners. You know, she's wearing like a jumper. Although, actually, when you see the whole cover, you can sort of see her bottom under the top that she's wearing. But generally, it's quite modest. But yeah, I guess that summary makes me think a little bit of a sort of a slightly older group of friends, but yeah, similar to sort of Stranger Things or something like that. Yeah, interesting. But it definitely worked changing the cover, because initially I wasn't that keen to read it. It just shows how fickle I am. And now that I see that cover, I'm a lot more interested.
I don't remember seeing the proof, actually, but
I've got it somewhere.
Yeah.
But there we go, so we can both have a read of that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was going to request it straight away on NetGalley and then forgot.
But yeah. It sounds like it should be a kind of nostalgic...
A bit of nostalgic.
...romp.
As a child of the 80s that we are.
Well, exactly. Although not as old as them.
Not as old as that, is that?
But, and then this, which I'm very intrigued by, because... it's another sort of frank-talking non-fiction book. I've been sent a copy of Doing It by Hannah Witten, which is published by Wren and Rook, which is a new imprint, which is part of Wayland Books, which is part of Hachette.
Downstairs, so, is like...
Indeed.
And several floors down from me, yes.
So it says on the cover, "Let's talk about sex." So this book was all kind of inspired by the fact that Hannah, when she was at school, in the particular school that she went to, really had quite bad sex education, I think, from the sounds of things. I, in my past life, as it were, taught sex ed, and I know some teachers... are sometimes quite reluctant to actually teach it because they find it very awkward for whatever reason. It's still quite difficult to talk about sex for some people because people do find it embarrassing. And, you know, I think times are gradually changing and people are becoming a bit more frank and open about it. But a lot of people do find it very difficult for a lot of different reasons. So I think it's really good that there are books that are open and well written, aimed at teenagers, although I don't know if anyone listening saw, I don't know if you saw this, Rob, there was a parent whose child came home with a copy of Juno Dawson's This Book Is Gay.
Yes, I did hear about this.
And
yes.
Wrote to the papers and complained, blah, 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 blah. But actually, it's an excellent book, and you can read my review of it on Adventures with Words. I really think it's fantastic, and that every school library should have copies of it, because it's the kind of thing that every young person should have access to. But there we are, that's just my view. And that's coming from someone who is still a qualified teacher. So there we are. Mm. I don't think there's anything in there that's inappropriate for young people. It's all dealt with perfectly well for teenagers. So, The idea is that this is about figuring out how to build and maintain healthy relationships with your friends, your family, romantically and with yourself. That's all a crucial part of being a teen, but it's not easy, especially in a digital age where information and advice are so forthcoming. It can be hard to know who or what to believe or trust. Also, which is important, porn is everywhere, sexting is the norm, messages about body image are highly mixed. So this is supposed to be a sort of one-stop guide. It looks like it's designed very nicely. Hannah is hopefully someone that young people feel that they can trust. And there's lots of other people that she's gone and spoken to. Juno Dawson, in fact, Holly Bourne. Award-winning erotic film director Erica Lust, body confidence coach Michelle Ellman, and director of the school's Consent Project, and barrister Kate Parker. So lots of different things in here, so I'll be reading that and reporting back. So there we are. And thank you very much for sending this. I'm very pleased to have received it.
So, should I talk That's about me. The one book that I'm allowed to talk about?
Please do.
So the book that I read is one that I am working on, so, you know, alarm bells if you need to be. But this is My Sister by Michelle Adams. And I read this as Michelle was coming over. She lives in Cyprus. It's her first book. And it's a nice twisty-turny psychological thriller about two sisters. So, Kate, you might be interested in this one. I have a brother.
Okay.
You don't get to choose your family. She thought she'd never go back home. But there's something in her sister's voice that she just can't refuse. And hasn't it always been that way? What her sister asks, she does. So the main, it's told in the first person by the main character called Irini, and she has a sister who was basically, when they were both very much younger, her parents gave Irini away and kept her other sister. And she's woken up in the middle of the night by her sister Ringia, who has found her after all this time, telling her that their mother has died and that she must go back to Scotland for the funeral. And it's told in the first person, but you also get flashbacks as to what happened when they were children. And it's this sort of, Irini doesn't really want to explore that past anymore. She doesn't really know why she was ever given away. Her parents didn't want her to have anything to do with her sister, as Irini went off to live with her aunt. Mm. And they moved around to try and keep away from Eleanor, this other sister, who you get to know as the book goes on.
And it's got creepy.
It's quite creepy. It's got some nice twists. There's a nice good one at the end. You know how I am with a first person narrator. You're never quite sure if you're being told the truth or not. But you get when Irini goes back up to Scotland for her mother's funeral, they go to stay in a sort of big Scottish stately home, which had memories of my childhood when we used to stay on a National Trust park. And I got to spend some time with Michelle last week as she flew over from Cyprus for sort of 2 days of hectic interviews and filming. I managed to get some filming done with her before she went off to the Guardian family section, nicely enough. And yeah, it's her debut novel. She used to be she's a part-time scientist and formerly a doctor, and that's what Irini's character is, actually. So I'd say look out for this one. It's out in April as a paperback and ebook, and then the standard paperback is out next year, I believe. But it was a really good sort of twisty turny thriller. If you've got any siblings, you might be interested in particular, and it's really good. I think I've read the finished version now, because you know what it's like with these proofs, but I think it's certainly one to look out for if you're any fan of sort of psychological crime thriller. And I know Michelle's working on her next one right now. Maybe I'll even get a chance to speak to her on the podcast, because I said we might do something over Skype.
Cool.
Being that she lives abroad. So look out for that one.
Very exciting.
And what else have you got?
So I thought I'd just briefly mention a couple of events that we went to. So I went along a couple of weekends ago to the Stripes blogger showcase. So that was a really nice afternoon, and I did some live tweeting from there, and I made them into a thread and shared that, and I'll put a post on the blog of those tweets. I'll collect them together, but yeah, it was a really, really nice afternoon, actually. we went off up to the room over a tapas restaurant near Kensington High Street, and the team from Stripes, which is the YA part of Little Tiger Press, presented us with their sort of top books coming up in the next sort of 6 months to a year or so. And the ones that caught my eye were, there was a book called Fur, which is a sort of thriller type book. It's set, it's got a kind of Scandinavian forest setting, quite creepy, but there's also a sort of Norse mythical sort of magical element to it, which is quite cool. Then one of the big sort of themes for the afternoon was a book called Finding Ophelia, and that's got it's historical, and the main character is a young girl from the countryside, and she comes to London, and essentially she wants to become like an artist's model, like the famous Pre-Raphaelite models, and she's got this incredible red hair, which is very fashionable at the time, so it's kind of her story. And then also one of the things that they were talking about is their anthology for BAME writers, and the date for that has just gone, but at the time it was still open, so I was tweeting about that, and the title of that is A Change Is Gonna Come, and so I'm very excited about that. That's got some great people that was already who had already been confirmed, but then it was still open for other submissions, so there's going to be some people that are more well known, but then some people who are not already published. So that was part of the idea of it as well. So giving people who had not been published before a chance to get their work published, who are BAME writers. Well, yeah, I think that's going to be really, really good. So I'm looking forward to that coming out so I can read that and talk about it. And then I've already got a copy of Fur and a copy of Finding Ophelia. So I shall read those and again share my thoughts in due course. So that was good fun. And then we both went to Hutchinson Windmill and
something else.
But anyway, yeah, so we went to this other showcase.
Keep talking and I'll find you.
So Hutchinson Books, Windmill, and then also another Heinemann. Oh yeah. My God, I can't believe I forgot Heinemann. That's embarrassing. But so it was that Heinemann, Hutchinson and Windmill,
yes,
fiction
showcase.
2017 showcase. That's sorry. There are quite a few elements to that, so hopefully they'll forgive me. But they had a really wide selection of different people there. Again, tweeted along from that and shared them from Events with Words. So, and again, I'll pop those up in a post on the blog. But there were a few things that we could take away from that. Some things weren't there because they're too far ahead. But one of the people who was there was Sarah Baum, and I've kindly already been sent a copy of A Line Made by Walking. She also did mention her next book a little bit. I was able to take away a copy of Paula Kakosa's book. Nick Harkaway was there talking about his next book, but I didn't have a copy of Tiger Man, so we grabbed a copy of that. Yeah, so we had a few things. And you picked up a copy of Amor Towles' book as well,
yeah.
Gentleman in Moscow. So we had a few bits and bobs of reading to do from that as well. But that was a really nice evening. Mm-hmm. That was good fun. There's also
John Niven, who I follow on Twitter, who's delightfully sweary. Form that night as well.
Yeah, that was very funny. His book kind of reminded me a little bit of a kind of very sweary, or, you know, when he was talking about his new book, it made me think of like a very sweary Scottish version of The Lady in the Van. So if you can imagine John Niven's take on that, which I'm sure would be very, very funny. Just kind of think about that. So that was a really, really nice evening, and obviously we'll tell you more about the books in due course as we read them. But yeah, apart from that, we've just been having a little bit of a break, doing our reading for work or fun, respectively. And that's about it, really. We've got a bit of a busy couple of weeks coming up, but we'll try and get some bits and bobs scheduled in on the blog, so there's stuff coming up for you. Next weekend, we've got lots of fun things coming up because we're going to see Stornoway on Friday. That's on their farewell tour. And then we're off to Secret Cinema, who are doing Moulin Rouge at the moment. So there we are.
So we'll be back in about a fortnight with another episode. If you'd like to follow me in the meantime during the week, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and other things, at Rob Chilver.
And if you'd like to follow me in the meantime, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and various other things, at @magic_kitten.
Send us an email, contact@adventuresofwords.com. You can also like the page on Facebook. Send us a tweet, @WordAdventures. And if you head over to adventuresofwords.com, you can either leave a message or a comment underneath any of the posts, or you can even leave us a voicemail if you'd like to.
Yeah, and then we can pop your voicemail into the podcast.
That's all for this week, and we'll be back in a fortnight.